Welcome to the Right to Vision Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And today we're going to actually do a study looking at a passage out of the book of Romans, and this is Romans chapter number 13, and I'm going to read the passage first here. It's verses 1 through 7. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pray ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Now this passage is really used by a lot of individuals to apply it to human government today and to say that this is the passage that shows what it is that God looks at related to human government. And as we look at this passage today, we're going to very clearly see that what is being spoken of has nothing to do with human government today. Now, the text for this episode is really going to be coming from an article by Brother Dwayne Gallatin, who's in Wisconsin and who wrote an article dealing with this issue. And as I read this, what I really want everyone to do is really kind of take an honest look at this text, because it really is a different view of looking at what this passage says. So this article is entitled, "Powers, Rulers, and Ministers of God." Paul the Apostle fully preached the gospel of the grace of God, that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He received his message by visions and revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 7, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. This message contains the preaching of the cross, that is, unto us who are saved, the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 18. But before salvation, we were all under the dominion and rule of the Spirit, that now works in the children of disobedience. We walked according to the course of this world, which is established by Satan, the prince of the power of the invisible realm, manifesting the lusts of our flesh, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. As such, we possess no capacity to function under the power ordained of God, the higher power. But thanks be unto God, who is rich in mercy, for when we, by faith, relied upon the accomplishments of his Son upon the cross, were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into his glorious heavenly kingdom and places, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, placed or baptized us into the one body of Christ, under the power and authority of Jesus Christ as our head. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. The good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day arose from the dead is the only gospel that saves the soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Sinners who believe are now counted as saints. Let us now examine Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. These commands of Paul unto the Roman saints reveal that they were to be under subjection to the higher powers that were ordained of God. Please note that Paul is not addressing lost mankind, nor religious folks apart from Christ, but the saints that dwelt in Rome. Remember, only saved people who are in the one body are addressed in the Romans epistle, Romans chapter 1 verse 6 and Romans chapter 12 verses 4 and 5. Only the members of the body have the translation into God's jurisdiction and were instructed by God through Paul to be in subjection, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15, and Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. Put another way, this 13th chapter of Romans contains Paul's commandment for the one body of Christ. Verse 1 states, "The powers that be are ordained of God." These are the higher or superior powers that are of God and ordained of God. They are set in orderly arrangement. God established this orderly arrangement, the ordination, with a purpose in mind. That purpose being the edification process or the building up of the body of Christ. This will be explained later on as we continue this study. These powers had delegated authority and were privileged to exercise power since the authority they operated under did not originate within themselves. Thus, these ministers of God were given authority to function in a proper manner so they could discharge their duty and accomplish God's purpose. As such, they had no power within themselves to claim power or the exercising of power. Historically, and of greater importance doctrinally, Paul the Apostle of and to the Gentiles is the higher power due to his office of apostleship with its corresponding gospel, Romans chapter 11 verse 13, and 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 6 and 7. Paul with the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God for the Gentiles was the one sent of God, Galatians chapter 1 verses 15 and 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 17, and Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. Paul revealed his understanding as he wrote concerning his delegated authority and the use of his power within the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 15, verse 15, Paul wrote to the Romans because of the grace given unto him of God that placed them within his authority or power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, Paul the Apostle states that he is not anything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, Paul acknowledged his authority and power was given him, and it was for the edification of the body of Christ, and not their destruction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, Paul further states it this way, "Though I be nothing." In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, Christ spoke through Paul, and he lived with Christ by the power of God toward the Corinthians. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul claims to be less than the least of all saints. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, Paul's energetic labor was according to Christ working in him. It is clear that Paul grasped with humbleness of spirit and boldness of pen that his position of authority with power was ordained of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. In the King James Bible, the English word power and powers in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, and the English word authority in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, are translated from the same Greek word. Thus, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, Paul writes that his authority was given him by the Lord. In chapter 13, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians, Paul also states that he would use sharpness amongst the Corinthians according to the power which the Lord had given him. In Paul's mind, both the authority and power came from God. There is a threefold cord in scriptures that cannot be broken concerning God investing his chosen mouthpiece with authority and power. The record shows God vesting authority in Moses in the dispensation of law during time past, and he also committed unto Peter, the primary prophetic kingdom apostle, the keys to the kingdom of heaven upon earth, with Peter using those keys during the Pentecostal era, as recorded in the early chapters of Acts. And God had also committed unto Paul the dispensation of the grace of God, with its corresponding authority and power, to accomplish the establishment of the sound doctrines of grace truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, and compare this to Acts chapter 13, verses 4 through 12. To review what we have studied so far, the 13th chapter of Romans is addressed to every soul within the one body of Christ, which is the church in this dispensation of the grace of God. God had placed an orderly arrangement and a higher power and authority to which all saints were to be in subjection. The higher power is not any man within his own power, for man is nothing. Because of God's design for edification of the one body of Christ, the higher powers were men who had been granted stewardship of the mystery revelation, with Paul being the first one in this dispensation of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 1 and 2, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 12 through 16. Paul was the higher power because of the form of sound doctrine that God was depositing with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 1 and 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11 and Titus chapter 3 verses 3 and 9. Thus the higher authority delegated unto Paul is in reality for us in the 20th century that form of sound words contained in sound doctrine which produces sound faith when sinners believe his gospel, that is the scriptures rightly divided. God had set or ordained some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers within the body of Christ to facilitate the edification process as the word of truth was being given to the apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. These men labored in harmony with Paul. They were co-laborers with him as he exercised his apostolic authority in directing their ministry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, Philippians chapter 2 verses 19 through 25, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3, and Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Within themselves, these men were not the authority, but because of the deposit of truth placed into their trust by God through Paul's ministry, they could speak and rebuke with all authority. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, and also chapter 4 verses 2 through 5, and Titus chapter 2 verse 15. In Romans chapter 13 verses 2 through 5, there are two basic issues presented concerning how the saints could respond to the higher powers of verse 1. Of course, this is consistent with the other admonitions given by Paul throughout this Roman epistle. For example, in Romans chapters 6 through 8, Paul lays before each saint the newness of life that we have been raised to walk in. A saint can either choose to walk after the flesh or walk after the Spirit of God. One walk is a daily life in subjection to God and his revealed word under grace. The other is resistance to God and his authority found under Paul's ministry and written in his epistles. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 37 and 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 3. Likewise, in Romans chapter 13, the charge is to find obedience unto God through willingly subjecting oneself unto God's higher power, rulers, and ministers. The opposite to this is to resist that which God had ordained to be the power. Now, there's two basic issues that are going to be discussed. The first one is a saint walking after the flesh. These believers resist the power and authority of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. These believers resist the ordinance and arrangement of God. In verse 2, the ordinance of God reveals the will and purpose of God, so the saint can align his manner of living so that he may function as a full-grown son of God, manifesting grace and truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Romans chapter 15, verse 8, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. These believers that resist receive unto themselves damnation or judgment. During the Acts period, as Romans was being written, Paul exercised his authority to bring physical signs of destruction unto those who opposed the preaching of his gospel. There was also a great spiritual loss in the blessedness of grace reigning within the local assemblies when they rejected and spoke against Paul. Acts chapter 13, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through chapter 13, verse 3, and also chapter 13, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 15. The post-Acts period marked the departure of physical signs being manifested, but the magnitude of the spiritual loss has increased as the saints, since Paul's day, have consistently rejected the authority of God found in the Pauline epistles. As a whole, the church, which is his body, has preferred the demonstration of God's power as recorded in Acts chapters 1 through 8. The body of Christ has neglected, yes, even changed, the truth concerning the powers that be are ordained of God. Yet there remains a day when all the body will appear before the bema seat of Christ to give an account. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 2, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Understand that when resistance it is given, it is to resist the power of God and the ordinance of God, also the rulers of God, and we can see that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, and lastly, the ministers of God. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. The second issue is a saint walking after the Spirit. These believers were subject unto the higher power and authority of God in Romans chapter 13, verse 3. These believers were to be affected for good by the power as the will and purpose of God was manifested and understood by the saints. The powers of God were to exercise their authority in such an exacting manner that the saints would experience spiritual soundness, goodness, and profit. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, and 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. These believers would receive praise of the powers that be. During the apostolic journeys of Paul, as he had just left the brethren in the midst of persecution, he often sent his co-laborers or ministers of God to run checks upon those saints he left behind. As these ministers of God brought back good reports of the saints submitting to Paul's authority, this news refreshed Paul and brought his praise unto the same. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, and 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 through 16. It was the design of God to use men invested with delegated power and authority contained in sound doctrine to bring maturity and edification to the membership of the body of Christ by the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Romans chapter 13, verse 4 records that this is good. The Spirit-filled ministers of God would be faithful stewards of the truth committed to Paul and would not change the doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. When subjection is given, it is to submit to the revealed word of truth, also to the authority of the Apostle Paul, also to the speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ through Paul, and lastly, to the power of Christ in one's life. The warning is clear and the results very evident, that apart from the leaders in the body of Christ recognizing God's design for building up the church, not building the church, through the mystery committed to Paul, the impact of their ministries would be to the evil or bad, no matter how biblical their teaching. Properly, the teaching and laboring should accommodate God's leadership in teaching the word of truth rightly divided. Years later, when Paul wrote his second epistle to Timothy, this very issue is expressed in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Leaders within the body of Christ must teach the word of truth rightly divided, making clear the differences between mystery truth and prophetic truth, the body of Christ and national Israel, the heavenly program and the earthly program, and grace and law. To sum up what we have covered so far is to say that God ordained Paul the Apostle with delegated authority to be God's mouthpiece during this present dispensation of grace. Paul had the signs of an apostle wrought in him. He used this power upon the lost and the saved to bring the understanding that Christ was speaking through him. Paul could and did use that power in a destructive way as well as for edification. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 2 and 10, and Acts chapter 13 verse 11. Concerning the higher powers, rulers, and ministers of God, as recorded in Romans chapter 13 verses 3 through 6, Paul also sent others such as Titus, Timothy, and Epaphroditus as those ordained ministers of God to confirm the saints with the issues of his gospel. These men were the gifts God gave to the body of Christ, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 28 and Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. The identifying mark of the true ministers of God would be that they would not change the sound doctrine Paul had committed unto them. They would teach and do the same thing Paul taught. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through 2 and Philippians chapter 4 verse 9. The local assemblies were expected to submit themselves unto these true powers, rulers, and ministers of God, thus proving the sincerity of their love. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 5 through 16. The local assemblies were and are expected to stand against Satan's false apostles and deceitful workers. These men were and are sent by Satan unto the body of Christ to draw the members into a system that would be functioning under the law, through works, and functioning under the flesh. God even labels these false workers as the ministers of righteousness in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 through 15 and Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14. Loving obedience to God was made known when the assembly submitted to Paul and his co-laborers and rejected the false authorities and powers. This was evidence of their obedience to the Spirit of Christ that was in them as they lived under the system would have functioned under grace, they would function through faith, and would have functioned through the Spirit. To serve Christ and to be involved with the work of Christ was to obey the Apostle Paul and to respond in a God-honoring manner to his co-laborers, giving honor to whom honor was due. Philippians chapter 2 verses 25 through 30 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 12 through 13. Having said all that, there's the next step of this is the actual application of what this truly means and what it means to the local assembly. And we're going to pick up with that next time because this is a lot of information that has been thrown at everyone today. A lot of information that probably most people have not considered, have not looked at this teaching in this manner, and have instead looked at it as that the Apostle Paul speaking about human governments being those powers that are ordained of God, and that man needs to be subject unto them in that manner. And so, you know, as we close this episode, you know, I always like to remind everyone, you know, of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles going through many different topics. We have links to audio messages of our, you know, Sunday messages. You know, when there's a lot of different messages that are actually on our website, you know, I invite you to check those out. There's, you know, information on how to join our Wednesday night's Bible study. You know, when Pastor Leroy Reed is teaching on Wednesday nights, he's going through the book of 1 Corinthians. When I'm teaching on Wednesday nights, we've been going through Peter's epistles. So, you know, there's some information related to the body of Christ, what's going on now, and then there's some information that's being taught related to, you know, the ages to come, and contrasting that with what the Apostle Paul gives us for doctrine today. And as always, there's, you know, information on how to contact us. If you have any questions related to, you know, this episode, which is a, you know, major doctrinal change for some people to kind of be taking a look at, or any other questions related to any information that we have, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.